Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. Back in our series, where we're seeing Jesus in every book of the Bible, we do that because we believe that when we see Jesus, he can change us. That knowing who Jesus is has an impact upon our lives. So now we're in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read the first two verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. Let's have a word of prayer as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, before we start the message this morning, we do need to stop and ask that you would help us. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that he would have complete control in this time. And Lord, we pray that you would show us exactly what we need to see this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I mentioned in the announcements that on December 16th, we're going to have the BBA Christmas program, and the elementary students, they're getting ready for their play, and they're practicing and all of that. They've got a number of songs that they're going to be singing, but I think the title of the program is Giving My Best. And so one of the songs that they sing, the theme song, the chorus goes, Giving My Best and Forgetting the Getting, this is what Christmas should be. And that is what Christmas is about, right? It's about giving, right, and love, and then showing our love through giving. And it's interesting to me how almost instinctual it is that when you love someone, you want to give to them, right? And we see that playing out at Christmas, and we can look at that and go, it's instinctual, or we could say that this is Jesus Christ in us, right? And it's we were made in the image of God. God gives because he loves. And so we see the image of God in people, even though, right, with sin it's been corrupted and all of that, yet there's still glimmers of it there. And we see that through the desire that we have. When you love someone, you want to give to them. And it's very biblical, right? We all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then when we come to Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 2, we find the exact same thing. We find that love is connected with giving. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Loving and giving. If you really love someone, you're going to want to give to them, and you're going to do it joyfully and cheerfully, not because you have to, but because you want to, because you love that person so much. But sometimes it can be hard to find the perfect gift for someone, right? And we're what, like a couple weeks out from Christmas? And so maybe there's some of you that are like, got it all done. I've gotten every single Christmas gift. I've got it all ready. I can relax for the next 2 weeks. Probably the rest of us are like, all right, give me your Christmas wish list, you know? Tell me what you want. Because it can be hard to find like a good gift for someone. I mean, kids, it's kind of easy. They're happy with like almost anything, right? Any new toy, and they're happy with that for at least 10 minutes, you know? And then after that, they get the box for that's another 5 minutes. So you're good for 15 minutes with that toy. But sometimes for other people, you're like, what am I going to get them? Right? I don't know. I have no idea, right? And so you're kind of trying to think, because you want to get them a good gift, right? Not just anything, right? That's what we're kind of looking for. So I'm going to help you out this morning. I've got some criteria I use if I'm trying to think about good gifts. I don't always meet these, okay? I'm not trying to say I'm great at this, but this is at least the thought process I go through. Number one, and these aren't in any of order importance, but it has to be affordable. You know, I want it to be something that I can afford. It's in the budget. I love to see those car commercials. You see these at Christmas, and it's always the same, right? There's one person leading another person out. They're like, don't look, close your eyes. Or they got them blindfolded or whatever. They lead them out of the house to the driveway, and they're like, take your blindfold off. And there's this brand new car. It's wrapped up in a bow, you know, and all of this. And boy, they're all so happy about this. I know what would happen If I was like, Erica, come here, I got you a present at Christmas, I lead her outside, there's going to be some real questions. And there's not going to be a lot of like, yay, it's going to be, can we afford this? Like, where'd you get this? Why didn't you talk to me about this? Is this in the budget? They don't show that. It's like the commercial cuts. They're like, let's move on to something else. So, I mean, can I afford this? That's something I think about. The second is I want it to be a a gift that's going to improve their life, that's going to make things better for them, like more enjoyable, easier. I don't want it to be something that's going to, it's going to be like a lot of work for them. Because, you know, there's some gifts you get that you look at them and go, where am I going to put this? You know, it's like something big or it's something that's, yes, it's good, but there's like four other steps you got to do before you can get that to be workable or usable. At the very least, it's like, I got to go find batteries for this thing now. You know, so I want it to be something that's beneficial, that's helpful, that actually does good for them. And then the third one is I want it to be a gift that shows that I care, right? That I put some time into this or some thought, maybe some effort into this, right? But it's not something that screams, this is so last minute and I didn't even think about it. Just kind of found this on the shelf at Walmart and was like, here you go, right? So those are the criteria that I think about. Affordable, that it improves their life, and that it shows that I care. Because when you love someone, you really want to give your best to them. But the question is this morning, what is our best? When we think about giving at Christmas and giving because we love the people that are around us, what's really the best that we could give to someone? I mean, not just good or not just great, you know, like a Yankee candle, that's a good gift, right? Everybody loves, you know, to have their house smelling nice or, you know, things like that, or a puzzle, that's always fun, right? Those are good gifts. Brand new car, I mean, if it's in the budget, right, that's a great gift, but are these things the best, literally the best that we could give to someone? And the other question I wanted to ask is, what if we could? What if we could give our very best? In addition to all the other gifts that we give out at Christmas, what if we could give our very best to the people that we love? What would that be, and how would we do that? And in order to know the answer to all those questions, we got to look at Jesus Christ from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. We need to see Jesus Christ this morning, and I want to see Jesus Christ as Jesus the loving. Jesus the loving, and it was kind of a toss-up between Jesus the loving and Jesus the giving, because they're there together, but I chose the loving because that's where it comes from. That's where the giving comes from. It comes from his love. And as hard as we try, there is just no one who's better at loving and better at giving than Jesus Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did, but not just for his friends, but also for his enemies, right? Greater love hath no man than this. And then 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. There's no one better than Jesus Christ at both loving and giving. And that's why we're going to look at Jesus Christ this morning. We need to learn from him. And so Ephesians 5 and verse 2 gives us the template that we're going to see, right, of how to give our very best this year. And so we see what Jesus Christ did, right? And then we use that as a pattern because it says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Lays it right out at the beginning. I mean, this is what this is for. This verse is here for us to know what Jesus Christ did so we can do the same thing as he did. And so we need to see the gift that he gives. And the gift that he gives clearly in verse 2 is that he gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. So he gives his life by dying on the cross. That's the focus, right? That's the gift that we're looking at, this greatest gift that's been given to us. Galatians 2 and verse 20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Titus 2, 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the gift, all right, that Jesus Christ gave. He gave himself on the cross for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But before we get into all of that, we need to see something that's important for us in verse 2, right? A really important part of the verse, and that is the prepositions that are used. And it's almost like when we look at these prepositions, it's almost like we could talk about it like, or look at it like Jesus Christ is filling out the gift tag that goes on the gift, right? And so he says in verse 2, the end of verse 2, he had given himself, we look down a little bit, he gave himself to God for sweet-smelling savor. But then we also notice that he gave himself for us. So we have the from, right? We know who it's from. It's from Jesus Christ. And it's to God, and then it's for us. Now, normally when I fill out a gift tag to put on a present, there's only two blanks, right? There's who it's from and then who it's to. Because generally who it's to and who it's for are kind of the same people. Usually we think about that, right? It's to this person and it's also for that person. But there are times when who we give it to, it's to them, but it's also for a greater audience, we could say. For example, if I came to your house and I said on Christmas morning, you know, 8 a.m, right? Because the kids are already up. But 8 a.m, I show up and I'm there with Jason and his truck and I've got a couch in the back, right? I don't have a truck, so that's why Jason's with me. And we got this couch in the back and I say, I got you this brand new couch. It's not even from Bob's, it's Raymond Flanagan, right? It's the great couch, you know? So this couch is to you, right? It's to your family, but you know that it's not just for you, because you know your extended family's over. You're not going to be like, sorry, I can't sit on the couch. It's for them too. It's for your pets, right, if you let them on the couch. I mean, it's for any guests you would have over. It's to you, but there's also other people. You get a box of chocolates. It's to you. You know it's going to be for other people, whether you like it or not, right? Because we share. That's what we do, right? So there is two, but then there's also a greater audience that it can be for. And we need to make this distinction, though, in verse 2 between who this gift that Jesus gave is to and also who it's for. And it's not just like we're splitting hairs here. There's a reason for this, because understanding who it's to and then who it's for is going to help us with knowing the template, right? The pattern that we are going to follow. So looking at this, there's two principles that we need to know. The first is this. What you give is determined by who it's to, not who it's for. The gift that you give is determined by who it's to, not who it's for. Right? In the example of the couch, I would pick a couch that it's the color that I know your family likes, or it goes with your living room, or it's the style that you like. I'm going to base the type of couch I get based on the ones I'm giving it to. I'm not going to consult every guest that you might possibly have over and say, do you think this is fine for you when you come over, or your extended family or whatever, right? It's going to be who the gift is to then determines the gift that is given. Now, Scripture always says, it's very consistent, it always says that the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross was a sacrifice always to God. It never says that he sacrificed himself to us. Yes, for us, but not to us, right? It was a sacrifice that was given to God. We have that pattern all throughout the Old Testament. When Israel would bring a sacrifice to the temple, it wasn't to the priest, it wasn't to their family, it was to God. That's who the sacrifice was to. And so God then is the one who would determine the gift that was given to him. Right? God was the one who would determine that. And God determined that it was going to be a sacrifice and an offering to God for a sweet-smelling savor. The word sacrifice is something that's killed sacrificially. It includes that there's the shedding of blood in this. The word offering is a more general word for a gift that was usually like given at the temple, but it didn't necessarily mean that there was the shedding of blood, because there were other offerings that were given that were that were just food gifts that were then offered. And so we have this picture of what this gift was given to God. And this was the gift that God wanted. It was determined by what God had said. And I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2 with me. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. John is saying in verse 1 that, listen, if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And then he says in verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We've got the word for in there a number of times, right? He's the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word to, right, that blank on our gift tag, that's there in the word propitiation, because the word propitiation means the satisfaction or the appeasement of the offended party. The offended party was God in this case, right? We were not the offended party. We were the ones who had offended, and we were the offenders. And so this is a sacrifice given to God. And it's the sacrifice that was given to satisfy the wrong that was committed against someone. It'd be like if I borrowed a tool and I broke it, right? I borrow a tool from someone and I break the tool in the course of using it. I would then have to make propitiation. You probably wouldn't make me, but I would want to, right? Make propitiation for this and say, okay, either I'm going to pay you cash for it or I'm going to replace the tool, something, right? To satisfy what I have done, right? The error that I made. That's this, all right? So Jesus Christ is giving this propitiation, his sacrifice as a satisfaction, not to us. We didn't need to be satisfied. We were the ones who had offended. It was always to God because we had offended God with our sin, with us breaking his law and disobeying God and rejecting God and rebelling against God. His propitiation was the satisfaction that God desired. And so Jesus Christ did this on behalf of you and I. And so with that propitiation then comes forgiveness and reconciliation from that, because the wrath and the justice of God was satisfied in Jesus Christ, in his sacrifice and in his offering. And so when we understand in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, that he had given himself to God as an offering and a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling savor, we understand it's there for a reason. It's to God for a reason, because what sense would it make for Jesus Christ to offer himself as a sacrifice to us? And we look at that and go, that doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't fit all that's going on. It doesn't fit the situation for us to think that he sacrificed himself to us. No, it was on our behalf, and it was the sacrifice that he made to God the Father because we had offended God. And so there needed to be some satisfaction, some appeasement that would take place. And Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross for that. And so it all comes back to God made this demand. God said, there, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Right? This is the way it had been planned from the beginning. From the time Adam and Eve sinned and God took an animal and made coats of skin from that animal, he showed that there had to be shedding of blood. Right, and then we find the sacrificial system all the way through up till Jesus Christ, that final sacrifice, because that is what God demanded. It was a sacrifice always to God. And then, but in the end of verse 2 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, this sacrifice to God, it was a sweet-smelling savor. And this is this tells us how it was received by God the Father, that he received it and it was pleasing to him, the sacrifice that Christ made. It'd be like if you put a pie in the oven and you're baking it, you know, and you set the timer or whatever. When you come back, you do not want to smell that thing burning, right? You don't want to walk in the kitchen and go, oh no, something caught on fire. That's not a smell I want to be smelling. You want to open that oven door and go, man, that smells good. I know this is going to be good because of how it smells. And That was the reaction that God the Father had to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm pleased with that. He said, it's acceptable to me because of how Jesus Christ did it, because of his sinlessness, because of the blood that was shed. It satisfied the demands of a righteous, holy, and just God. And that's what Paul says. Paul said, Jesus Christ, he gave his life as a sacrifice to God. And God saw that and he said, I'm pleased with that. I'm satisfied with that sacrifice. And so Jesus Christ gave himself as a sacrifice to God. But then the verse goes on, right? It says he had given himself not only to God, but then it also says he gave himself for us. And so we saw the principle that the gift is determined by who it is to. But the second thought we need to understand is this. Sometimes giving a particular gift to the right person will be more beneficial for other people. Giving a particular gift to the right person can have a greater benefit for other people. If I wanted to do something to help starving kids around the world, and I said, you know, this year I want to do something. So I said, I'm gonna give some money toward this, right? It would be most beneficial for me to find some charity or mission that's doing a good work, right? And you do all your research on them and whatever, and you find that, you know, 100% of the money, whatever, goes to the kids they're trying to feed. It would be more beneficial for me to give it to them for the kids than for me to mail money to a kid somewhere, right? And we all know how kids are. You give them money, I don't think they're going to be like, I'm going to buy healthy food, you know, fruits and vegetables for me. It's going to be like, no, I'm going to, you know, spend it on whatever, right? And sometimes it's better for us to give it to a specific person because we know that by doing that, it's going to have a greater benefit for the people under them. If I wanted to give, if I wanted to give your dog, let's say, if you have a bag of dog food for Christmas, I really like your dog or whatever, I'm like, I want to give him a great big bag of dog food. I wouldn't go over to your house, open that thing up, and dump it in the dog dish all around it. You're like this heaping pile, like, there you go, Sparky, or, you know, whatever. I would give it to you because I know that you can then portion it out, and you'll do a better job of giving it for your dog than if I just said, here you go, have at it. Right? We understand this principle that sometimes with a particular gift in a particular situation, it's better to give it to someone because they are better able to distribute it and to give it for other people. That's the case in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, because what Jesus Christ gave to God, his sacrifice to God, undeniably has benefited all of us. It was to God, and yet it was also for every single one of us. And all that we normally think of as coming from the death of Christ has been given for us. And I want to go to Romans chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And understand, if as Jesus Christ died on the cross as that sacrifice, if the two wasn't right, if he hadn't given it to God, then the four wouldn't have been beneficial. The four wouldn't have been able to be there if it wasn't to God. It had to be to God for it to benefit us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. So here's what we've received from this. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And there's so many things in this verse. It says we were, verse 9, since Jesus Christ died for us, we've been justified by his blood, right? We've been declared righteous, and we weren't that before. It also says we're saved from wrath through him. The wrath of God that had been upon us, the condemnation of God, we were saved from that because of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That relationship that had been shattered by our sin was now repaired. It was put back together. We were right with God. The end of verse 10, we shall be saved by his life. Verse 11, not only so, but we also joy in God. There's rejoicing. There's joy because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And it says we have now received the atonement. All of that. And it's like, have you ever seen one of those like those nesting dolls? It's like you open one and there's another one inside. That's what Romans 5, 8 through 11 is like. There's like, oh, wow, God did that for us. And you open up and like, oh, there's something else, right? It's on and on. There's just so much in here. And it's not like everything gets, you know, in one of those dolls, everything gets smaller and smaller as you go. It's like everything gets better and better, right? The more you think about it. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us. But it's because he gave his life as a sacrifice to God, right? If he had sacrificed his life to us, it wouldn't have done anything. But because he sacrificed his life to God, then all of a sudden we have all the four Right? It's for us, and we've benefited in so many ways. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. All this has been given to us because Jesus Christ died for us. And all that we have and all that we enjoy is because Jesus Christ died as an offering and a sacrifice to God for us. And so that's the pattern, that's the template that we see in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. The template for the greatest gift that's ever given. And if you're going to give the best gift you possibly could for those around you, you have to remember that four words, to God for them. To God for them. It has to be that way. If it truly is going to be the best gift that you could possibly give. Because it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. I mean, we can give other things and we can vary from this template, but it won't be the best. It won't be the best. It could be good gifts. It could be great gifts. But it will not be the best gift because this is the pattern that Jesus Christ has laid out for us, to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and to give as he hath given to us. So the question is, what then are we giving, right? What is this best gift that we're going to give to God if we follow Ephesians 5 and verse 2? And the answer is it's exactly what Jesus Christ gave. It's exactly what he gave. And I want to go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I mean, it's all there for us in Ephesians 5 verse 2. So Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I mean, it covers everything. Romans 12:1 covers everything we find in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. It covers the idea that it's a sacrifice, right? It's a sacrifice. It's you giving your body and your life, your all, and it's a living sacrifice. It's not that you have to shed your blood on a cross somewhere. It's that you have to live your life on a cross, right? Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. But it's you living your life for God in complete dedication and commitment to him, where you have given your life to God. It says a living sacrifice. It says holy, right? As Jesus Christ was holy, that sinless sacrifice that was then pleasing to God because it was holy. And that brings us to the next part, acceptable unto God, that sweet-smelling savor before the Lord, where he sees the sacrifice we make for him as we've surrendered our life to him and given our life to the Lord. And he looks at that and says, I'm pleased with that. That is acceptable to me as a sacrifice and as an offering. And it's where we've let... And then it says, unto God, right? The next part. Excuse me, acceptable unto God, which means we've let God determine what we give. We haven't said, Lord, this is what you get, take it or leave it. No, we say, God, what have you asked of me? What have you desired? And he said, I want you to live for me. I want you to give your life as I have given my son to you. I want you to give your life to me. We've said, God, you determine the gift that I give to you. And then it says, which is your reasonable service. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense to do it this way. And so this is the best gift that you could give for those around you. It's to give your life completely to God. To say, Lord, I will give you everything. You have my life. No reservations, no strings attached, no fine print. Lord, I will put you first in my life. I will serve you with my life. You will be first priority in my life. I will obey you. I will do your will, your way, in your time. I give my life to you. That's the best gift. That's what we see in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. It's from me. It's the gift of my life to God, and I do it for other people. And I want to, as we bring this to a close, I want to make application from actually Ephesians 5 and verse 25, if you'll go there. This principle, this template can be applied really in any relationship, right, to any person, right, giving your life to God for them. But in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, I want to take this verse and then apply it to a specific group. Because it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He gave himself for the church. And then Paul says, okay, husbands, and we'll broaden this, husbands and fathers, those that are in that position of leadership, he says, you follow this. You give yourself to God for your spouse, to God for your family. And you know, it's a good sentiment to think, I need to give myself to my family. Right? I have to give myself to my wife. I have to give myself to my kids, where I dedicate my life to making everything better for them. And I give my time to them and I give my attention to them. And that's a good thought. And it's probably better than what a lot of people out there are doing in those sort of relationships. But is that really the best that we can give them? Is that the best that we can do, is to give our lives to them? Not according to the Bible. According to the Bible, the best gift that we can give to our wife or to our families is to give ourselves completely to God and have that as what we give our life to. That we say, I will give my life to God for my wife and for my family. But I am saying I'm dedicating all that I am and all that I have to God first and foremost. That's the best gift that we could give to those around us. And it's letting God determine what we give. And then it's trusting, though, that by giving all that we have to God, it's trusting that then that will be best for our family. By us saying, I surrender completely to whatever God has for me, and I will do whatever God wants for me. I will serve God with my life. I will love God with all that I have. I will follow the will of God with everything I have. I will give my life to God. It's us saying, I trust that that decision, following what God has said, will always be the best thing for those around me, for my wife, for my family, for everyone else. It will benefit them the most if I give myself completely to God. Not if I give myself to them. I'll give myself for them, but I will give myself to God. That's the best gift that we could give, because I can't give my wife a perfect husband. I can't give my kids a perfect father. I can't do that because of who we are, right? We cannot give that as the perfect gift. We can't be perfect for people, but we can say, I can be a husband and a father who loves God with all that I have, and who serves God with everything, who has chosen that God is first and foremost above all else, where I've given everything to God. That's a gift that all of us can give, right? Whether it is to a wife and to our family, or to your parents as a young kid, or to those people around you, for those people around you. Say, I'm just going to give myself completely to God. And especially for husbands and fathers, it's the absolute best that we can do for our wife and for our family, because we're not just providing. That's not just what we're there for. We're not just there to, you know, earn a paycheck and bring home the bacon, right? We're not just there to provide. We're there to lead, to provide this example for them to follow. And if our example is just one of providing for their physical needs and of just, you know, meeting even emotional needs, that's not the best. The best is for us to provide this example of what it means to give your life to the Lord completely, fully, all out, nothing held back, just giving your life to the Lord. That is the best, because we're there to be this example, right? And that's what we find even in Ephesians 5, walk in love as Christ hath given us this example. He did it as an example for us. Say, now you follow that. And so we do it, not just because we are there to provide, but we're there to lead as a husband and as a father, to be that example for those that are under us. That's the best gift that we could give. And I look forward to Christmas and Christmas morning. It's always a it's always a happy time, you know, opening presents. And it's always just a, you know, it's just a fun time with the family and all of that. And I'm the guy that, though, I don't like the wrapping paper everywhere. Like, you know, kids, wrapping papers off, who cares about that, where it goes, or that it's everywhere? That bothers me. So I'm the guy, and I know it's probably annoying, but anyways, I'm the guy who gets the trash bag, is like, trash in the bag. You know, if you get wrapping paper, you know, ball it up and throw it to me. Christmas is so much more enjoyable if it's clean. There's not wrapping paper. Maybe your thing is like, I love the paper everywhere, you know, just the chaos of it all. I'm like, no, not for me, you know. I don't like how cluttered it all gets. But every, you know, Christmas morning, there's always lots of gifts. And every year we say too much, you know, too many presents for the kids and all of that. And there's just so many gifts everywhere. And, you know, a lot of them are good gifts. There's also some gifts, you open them up and you right away, you know, I hope they put the receipt in there because this one's going back. This one's not staying. I'm going to return this one and buy something else I like. But I mean, there's good gifts and there's great gifts. But really the question is this year, what's going to be the best gift, right? Are we going to really give our best? In addition, like, to all the other gifts that we give, are we going to be happy because we gave our best for those around us? And it's only going to happen if we decide that we're going to do one more gift. In addition to all the other things we bought or are planning to buy, we say, there's one more gift I'm going to give this year. And it's not to anybody around here. It's going to be to God. I'm just going to do it. It's not even that I have to tell anybody or I have to, you know, make a big presentation out of it. But it's just a choice where I say, I'm going to give myself to God this year. And then it's going to be a decision I make, maybe a decision I'm remaking for the how manyth time, right? I'm just going to commit my life to God. Say, Lord, you have everything that I am and everything that I have. All of that is given to you. And I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it for the people around me. I'm giving it to God for them. And that's how we love as Jesus Christ loved. And I hope we see him this morning from Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus Christ, the loving. And this is what he's done for us. Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, I also want to ask this question. Do you know Jesus Christ? Every time we see Jesus Christ, we have to ask that question. Do you really know him? Because of his sacrifice, because he died on the cross for you, he now can offer eternal life to you. You say, you can have this gift of eternal life. And because it is a gift, it's not earned and it certainly isn't deserved in any way. Because we're all sinners. All of us have sinned. And yet God says, you can have this by simple faith in Christ alone. Say, I can have eternal life because he gave himself to God for us. But what are you going to give this year? What are you going to give? And who are you going to give it to? I trust you'll make that choice. Whoever you are, whether you're a father or a husband or whatever, right? It applies to all of that. What are you going to give this year? Because the Bible says you want to know what the best gift is? It's when you give your life to God for them. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you've given for us. Lord, we see Jesus Christ in his love for us as he hangs on that cross. Lord, as a sacrifice because of our sin, because of the wickedness that we had committed. And Lord, we see Jesus Christ giving himself to God for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. But Lord, we ask that you'd help us to walk in love as Jesus Christ has loved us. Lord, may we give our lives not to things of this earth, but may we truly give our lives in complete dedication to you. And Lord, we trust that when we do that, it will be the best thing for us and the best thing for those around us. So Lord, we ask that you'd help us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.